Okay, William. Hey, good morning or good evening or whatever time it is. Here it is, Chapter 11 of Stranded on Earth. And this is all about Igglypop prepares to return home. And that's this chapter. And when I ended the last chapter, if you remember, there was a big party for Igglypop at Dr. Talltale's house. And his wife, his good wife, Tara Tamara O'Toole Talltale, put on a scrumptious feast for Igglypop, and they all talked and danced, and they got him singing and dancing, even though in Janakapalala they don't have music because they all sing. Anyway, he learned to dance, and boy, was he a hit. 7 feet tall, his arms, his arms brushed the ceiling. Oh, but he had a good time. And he finally took off with GP, and everybody went home. And Clem Goodlight, with his wife Shui Huang, and all the kids went home, and they all settled down for the night and promised to come back the next day to start the space cruiser and wish him goodbye. Well, here's what happened then. So Shui Huang Goodlight and Clem Goodlight drove off in their van. They put Ming Li and Ling Mi and little Clem and Buster in his car seat. They put them all in their seats and buckled them in and took off. And it was late at night, and all four kids fell asleep. Oh, they were asleep. And Shui Huang was driving, and she was thinking to herself. She thought, I wonder if I could make some recordings of my music and give that to Igglypop. Because if they have no music on Janakapalala, wouldn't that be a nice thing to bring home? And she looked at Clem and said, Clem, what do you think? Do you think that would be kind of fun? He could bring home some of my music. Well, Shui Huang, I haven't really talked about her music, but she is a wonderful musician, beautiful singer. She can even sing in Janakapalala now. So she thought, I will make some mem cards. So then Clem Goodlight had that idea, and Dr. Goodlight said, oh, that's really a good idea. Why don't I make a mem card? I'll put all the research literature I have on astrophysics and give that to him. I mean, I've been collecting it for decades. I can give him a history of human astrophysics. He can bring it back to Janakapalala, and then if they can translate it, maybe we can learn more about astrophysics from their side of the universe. After all, it's about 1,000 light years away. And then he had an idea, and he got out his smartphone, and he sent an accutext to his grad students. Well, his grad students being grad students, they were all up late anyway, and he sent them a text and he offered them extra credit for this semester, extra credit, if they would put together a summary page on their research work they were doing on astrophysics and send all of the electronic manuscripts they were using in their research with that, and he bundled them all in his mem card. And they should do it right away, like get it to me tomorrow morning, he wrote. But the best one was going to get an A for the semester, so they were all motivated. So they set to work, and he set to work. And then they got home, and they put their kids in bed, and then Shui Huang sat down at her computer and started collecting recordings and tapes and albums and all the rest and putting them together to make a great song list for Igglypop. And Clem Goodlight sat down, and he pulled out all of his research and started putting words in, started putting his DVDs. He put a complete set of Hubble pictures because the Hubble satellite was still taking pictures after almost 100 years, still taking pictures. It was beautiful. He put all the pictures he had of the universe thinking this will really help. And then in the middle of the night, it was really late. They were both really tired. And Shui Huang said, I wonder if I could add more music to this mem card. She said, Clem, be a dear. Help me, will you? So they both sent out several music sniffer software bots into the EverythingNet, and they started collecting downloads that covered centuries of music from around the world on Earth and putting that onto a mem card. And by the time they finished, they had 3 10-petabyte mem cards all ready to give Igglypop. So Igglypop went home with GP. And what happened there? Well, they stayed up late, 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 late. Oh, my goodness, late, 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 late. Because they were talking and talking all about Janakapalala and Igglypop growing up and GP seeing the trolls. And then finally, GP looked at Igglypop. He said, Igglypop, my old friend, I know you're going home to Janakapalala. Can I come with you? Igglypop said, huh? What? Huh? What? Huh? Ooh, ooh, ooh. Can I come with you? I can take my recording gear and I can write a story about Janakapalala. This would be the hit of any type of ethnojournalism going to another planet. Wow, you could tell us who you are without anybody getting in the way. which meant, I've never heard of such a thing. What would a human do on Janakapalala? And GP said, well, you can walk around here, you can breathe this air, you can drink our agua. So obviously, some basics are all set. You could eat our food. How come I can't eat your food? Well, why not? I guess you make a point, but I mean, do you like eating Slurpees all the time? And then GP said, well, I could certainly try. So Igglypop said, well, I have to think about this. And it's time to go to bed anyway, because we have to get up and get my spacecraft going and get me out into outer space. And so at that, they went to sleep, had one last cup of coffee, and they went to sleep. Well, coffee didn't keep Igglypop up, and GP was so excited, he didn't even get much sleep. But you know what he did? He packed a huge suitcase full of clothes, because he wasn't going to wait for Igglypop to say yes. He knew what he wanted to do. He bought a large suitcase full of clothes, and then he put his backpack and loaded it with his audio, his video, his still photography, all the related equipment like microphones and playback meters and amplifiers, and he put in as many books as he could fit into his backpack that he had to take these books, and he put them in, including his book on the economics of trolls, because he really hadn't finished that book, and he had to learn troll language anyway, and he figured a long trip would give him time to learn it. And then he put together a box full of all of his dehydrated camping food. And then he put in coffee, have to have coffee, and have the water purifying pills, you know, in case the Janakapalala agua wasn't really good. And then, of course, he had a little more room. So what did he put in? He put in a couple of frozen pizzas. Well, they were in the freezer. He might as well take them out. And then he was all loaded, had everything by the door. He said, okay, I'm ready to go. And then he went, crashed headfirst into his bunk. And he fell asleep. So everybody's asleep, and they all slept in the next morning. Because after a big party, you've been up all night, everybody's been crazy and happy, you don't get up early. But finally they did, and finally they woke up, and GP and Igglypop woke up. It was about 10 in the morning, and Igglypop sat down and had some more coffee, and that made him feel better. And then he had some breakfast, because, GP said, well, Igglypop, I gotta go, but look, I have a whole box of Cheerios here. Well, it's kind of mixed. It's got some special K in there, too, and some cornflakes, maybe, and who knows what else. I put them all together right here. Why don't you have this for breakfast? And he took the whole box and he poured it into Igglypop's dissolver pouch. Igglypop stuck his hair tentacle in, and, ooh, that's very interesting, my good friend GP. And he ate it all up because he was hungry. One hungry fella. So GP said, okay, we gotta go. And he climbed into his Jeep and he threw in his suitcase and his backpack and his box of stuff. And Igglypop looked at that and said, what's that? And GP just looked at Igglypop and said, always be prepared, my friend. And they took off to go to Carnotoon and Solomon Cuttlefish's home so they could go into the space cruiser. Well, they got there about noon. And there was Solomon Cuttlefish just sort of coming out the front door, and he waved to them as they came along. And then he got out, and Igglypop came out and stood outside the driveway, and he was so happy. He was going to go home. He was so happy. He ripped off his surgical mask in front of his mouth, and he went, woo-woo-woo-woo-woo-woo-woo-woo-woo! Which meant, yippee, yahoo, I'm going home. And he didn't care who saw him, because he wasn't going to be here by the end of the day. And have fun looking at a Janakapalalan. And he hooted, woohoo! It was wonderful. Well, right at that moment, Tower Tomorrow Tool Talltail came striding across with a cup of coffee, and with it was Dr. Timothy Talltail, because it was a Saturday. And who else were there? It was 3T. And then 3T's little sister, we haven't said a lot about her little sister, but she came in, Tabitha, and she came over, and then Curtis came out, and they all said, woohoo, woohoo, it's Igglypop, whoa, how are you doing? Well, then they all said hi to GP, too, because they knew GP from the trolls, and they said, well, we're going to start the engine, we're going to try it. Well, while they were talking, who drives up? Oh, my goodness, it's a party time again. Here comes Clem Goodlight and Shui Huang and all the kids. And they even brought Maxie the dog, because it's Saturday and everybody's here. Woohoo! It was wonderful. They all hugged and high-fived, and then they all trooped into the garage. And Igglypop said, let me give it a shot. and he climbed into the garage. He climbed into his space cruiser, and he sat down at his dashboard, and he looked at the controls. He almost didn't want to try to touch it, because after all, what if the robots didn't work today? What if they were unruly? What if they were? He said, well, I got to do it. And he pushed the dashboard drive control to start it up. The dashboard lit up. He looked at the power meter. It was full of power. That satellite dish had loaded power into it all day, all yesterday, and all morning long, and it was almost up to full power. Solar array, Now, on Janakapalala, they had other ways of getting energy. They had never thought of solar array, but they could certainly do this with Babalababa. That might be a great, So, he's having all these mechanical engineer ideas, but he didn't say anything. He looked at his dashboard, and then he said, Takrab, are you there? And Takrab, his dashboard robot, said, oh, Igli Operon, yes, sir, I am here, ready to go. What can you have me do? And he said, well, I need to check systems. So you go tell the motor boss to check systems. And Talk Rob said, okay, and he called back to Happy Rob, are the atmosphere drive motor bot? Is your atmosphere drive ready to go? Start it and warm up and get back to me. And then all of a sudden, Igglypop heard a poo. And Talk Rob said, yes, our atmospheric drive motorbot has started. The motorbot engines, they're warm. They're warming up now. They're not started, but they're ready to go. And we can go anytime you want to move out into the atmosphere. Oh, Igglypop said, well, that's good. All right, well, I want you to check the graviton drive, motorbots. I want you to check the graviton drive. I want you to see if it's ready to start once I escape this atmosphere. All right. He talked back to Gobble Rob. Gobble Rob, we need to check the graviton drive. Make sure it's ready to boost on when we leave the atmosphere. Is it humming and started? All of a sudden, there was a deep, deep hum. That you could barely hear, but it was like it got to your stomach. And Talk Rob came back and said, yes, Gabble Rob has given me the recommendation. The graviton drive motors are all set to go. They're ready to go. They're warming up. He's just got them on warm pre-start, but as soon as you touch the button, they will lock in and lock into the star that you want. Oh. Well, listen, I want to prepare for the light channel here. And I need you to talk to the dry ion drive motorbots and see if they're going to give us the boost I need when I hit the light channel. Talk Rob said, aye, sir. And then very, very low, very light, there was a very... It was coming on. See, even the motorbots from Janakapalala all sing. Everything sings. It's a singing world. And so... Talk Rob came back and said, yes, I've checked with Captain Billy Rob, and he has started the ion drive on pre-warm-up, and it is functioning. It is ready to go. It will take him several hours. Well, he used Janakapalala time, but I'm not sure of it, so hours. Several hours to warm up fully and to be able to turn on when you hit the light channel, but there should be no problem once the graviton drive are engaged. Oh, Igglypop said, oh. These unruly robots are polite. They're doing what I want them to do. I think I can go. I think I can do it. They said, all right then, atmosphere drive motorbots, raise this ship a foot off the ground and float it. And all of a sudden, the sound went up, and the ship actually lifted a foot and floated in the air. Well, you can guess, everybody in the garage went, huh? What? What's going on? And then Igglypop climbed out of the ship through his space door, and he jumped down, and he raised his hands in the air, and he took his nose mouth and went, which was an extremely Janakapalalan way of saying, yippee, we did it, I can go, oh, thank you, all my good friends. Oh, well, that was calamitous. That was so much fun. That was it. You know what happened? They had an instant party, because nobody knew. But Solomon Cuttlefish's wife, Dahlia Cuttlefish, had the grill going out back, and she had hamburgers going and hot dog going, and she had more good wild salmon going, because you only ought to eat good wild salmon. And she had all these, she had salad, and she had all potatoes, and she had potato salad, and she had everything that she'd been working all morning to make. And she said, okay then, you can't leave on an empty stomach, we have to eat. And they all piled into Solomon Cuttlefish's backyard, and oh my goodness, look at that. There was a picnic table full of food. And they all said, yippee, and they started to eat. And old Igglypop, he thought, well, this is the last time I get to eat human food. I guess I better fill up. And so he started putting all sorts of things into his pouch. He put in hamburger, he put in a hot dog, he put in some sausage, he put in some fish. Oh, was he going to have a tummy ache tomorrow? Oh, but he didn't care. He wanted to do it. Well, then, while they were having their party, and while they were just being so happy, out came Tara Tomorrow Tool Tall Tale. And what was she carrying? She was carrying a carrot cake, a delicious looking carrot cake made all with organic carrots and organic pineapples and organic everything because she liked organics. And she had a big candle in it. And she said, Igglypop, today is your human birthday. And Igglypop said, oh. And they said, you have to blow out the candle, and when you blow out the candle, all your wishes will come true. So Igglypop took a deep breath and blew out of his nose mouth. And blew out that candle. Oh, they all cheered. And then what happens at a birthday party? They all had presents. Oh, my goodness. Well, here's Shui Huang Goodlight. And you know what she gave him? She gave him her 10 petabyte mem card of her music. And she gave him a card full of Earth World music. And this was music from the last 500 years, anything that had been recorded from every continent, every country, every style, everything you could even imagine, all the way up to modern bibble-bop. And bibble-bop was like as modern as you could get, and that's what all the kids danced to. And she said, here, Igglypop, this is for you. This is all the music I could gather, so you can go home and listen to music. Igglypop had never had a birthday party. They didn't have birthday parties in Tanaka Palala. That was just one of the things they, you know, they might say, oh, you've had be another year going, because after all, at 87 years old, he was still only like 17 or 18, so it wasn't a big thing. But then Clem Goodlight said, oh, Igglypop, my good friend, here's what I've done for you. And he had his own 10 petabyte mem card, and it was full of everything astrophysics, everything he knew, every picture, every video, every radiation map, every download, everything he had. He said, this is for you, Igglypop, my friend. I hope we can do some astrophysics research with Janaka Palalans. Well, Igglypop was so touched. He was so touched because he was sort of an astrophysicist himself, and this is research from humans. And then Clem said, and here are some of my students. My students decided they'd tell you what they're working on in case you want to. You have a university at Janaka Palala that I'd like to invite them for research. And then he handed them another 10 petabyte card full of all the research his students were doing. Igglypop was really touched. Well, this wasn't it, because then Ming Li and Li Ming both handed him pictures that they had drawn of Maxie, their golden retriever. Because after all, Igglypop had to remember his good space alien animal friend. Igglypop thought they were so kind. And then they said, and here we have some scotch tape for you so you can tape these up in your space cruiser. And they handed him some scotch tape. Then little Clem, you gotta love little Clem. You know, William, I think 5-year-olds are the best. They're just it. Little Clem stood up and he handed him a fire truck that he built with his Lego bots. And it was a full little fire truck, and the wheels rolled and the ladder came up, and the little guys in the front, and a man climbed the ladder, and he gave that to Igglypop for his dashboard. And Igglypop said, Who, what? And little Clem, it's a fire truck. In case anything happens, if your dashboard gets on fire, it can put it out. Igglypop laughed. And then Buster couldn't give it to him because he was little, but Shui Huang gave him Buster's handprints of his little palms, and his little palms and his fingers stuck together looked something like a Janaka Palala space cruiser with all its monitoring modules out. Oh, and that was little Buster. And Buster was so happy to see Igglypop again. And Maxie was running around trying to play with Igglypop. Igglypop was busy getting presents. Then Dr. Timothy Talltale stood up. And he made a little silly little speech about robots and how nice it was to meet Igglypop and how advanced it was. And he put together a 10 petabyte mem card, another one for Igglypop that summarized all of the current research on human robotics that he had collected. It included a multi-volume set of actuators, sensors, controllers, mechanisms of robot systems, motion self-planning, machine vision for robot limb kinematic, and applications for microbots. And then, he also included the schematics for another Ningyo robot that Dr. Ningyoshi-san and Squeaky Toy had generously provided. So now, if Igglypuff wanted to go back to Janaka Palala, he could actually have his roboticist build a Squeaky Toy, though it wouldn't be as good as Squeaky Toy, because after all, Squeaky Toy is Squeaky Toy. And then what did Dr. Tamara O'Toole Talltale? She created her own mem card with the latest research on piezoelectric actuators, and then it had everything you have to know about microelectronic intra-circuit communications, and then she had a whole literature review of robot psychology and methods of behavioral modification, just in case he had any more unruly robots. Oh, this was phenomenal. He looked at these memory cards. He said, this is what I would never have expected. And then she pulled out a little basket. And you know what Tara Tomorrow Tool Talltale had done? She put a big box of smoked wild king salmon from her hometown and a box of blackberry jam that she had just finished canning when Igglypuff arrived. She said, take this back to you to Janaka Palala, because this is really good food. It's all organic, and you will love it, and share it with your family. Well, Igglypuff was very touched, because in Janaka Palala, family has very important meanings in Janaka Palala. It sort of even is stronger than family in the United States, in humans. Though, I mean, sometimes it was family, like you have families that are tribes. In some countries, there's still family is the most important thing in the world. And I know you understand that, William, because family is the most important thing. But for Janaka Palala, family was it. And I'll give you an example. You see, Igglypuff was Igglyopteron uberoperon, okay? And the fact that he was an operon, now, just in his name, operon, just like the Star-Lord, Enkiwatera Epsilon-Aron. You see, now he was not an operon, he was an oneron. There are two different classes in the whole structure of Janaka Palala society. But an oneron was pretty high, but an operon was the top end. And then he was the uber operon, he was the greatest operon, so his family was it. And for 1700 generations, his family had been the chief ruling officers of Janaka Palala, generation after generation, because they were the uber operons. So he not only had his mother and his father and his cousins and his great cousins, but he had his aunts and his uncles and his grandnephews and his super nephews. He had a whole family. All the operons were his family. And then they were all part of his being. And he looked at the wild salmon and he thought, how can I share this among them all? But we'll try. So he was so pleased. And then Timmy, Tommy, Toby came up, 3T with Curtis. And you know what they did? They pooled their money to buy a set of troll figures from the town toy shop. And they gave him to Igglypuff in case he wanted a souvenir of his visit. And if you remember, during Uncle Key's Cafe, Margaret Maplethorne had worked with Uncle Key to get a whole set of figurines of trolls from Mr. Tutty's emporium down to her shop. And she had them right on the window, and they bought out one of each troll to give it to Igglypuff. Now, Igglypuff had no idea what these creatures were. They looked like human alien creatures, but they had tails. And so he was very puzzled. And they all started laughing, and Igglypuff decided this was so cute, he had to laugh too. Well then, Solomon Cuttlefish had sat up late in his garage the night before. And then he got up early in the morning. He had not had some sleep. But what he did was he worked with everything in his robot shop to put together a multi-comms box full of electronics, memory, and controllers for all the peripheral devices. So he built an electrical connection that would plug into the cable he built for Squeaky Toy. Remember when Squeaky Toy could plug into the dashboard? Well, he made a little connection to that so he could plug into the Space Cruiser dashboard and get electricity from it. Then he had ports built in for mini cards, mem cards, bubble cards, thumb pushers, any type of audio and video connections so that GP could plug audio, video, still picture, and editing on the fly. And it had software too. I mean, there was editing software, there was audio software, there was video software, there was lots of software in here. It was a whole little computer board right built in. And so it was like, oh my goodness, and it had 18 terabytes of memory just to start, because that's all the memory he could find on his blocks, but he put it all in, terabytes of memory. So it was a fast little computer. And then he had outputs. And it could output either a video 3D projector, so they could project it on the wall of the space cruiser, or a Versa monitor video roll-up, which was a big screen monitor, but was curved and it rolled up and it sat in its own little protective tube. Very portable, but when you pulled it out, you could mount it so it was flat and you could put it anywhere you wanted and use it as a monitor. And then he also had a little keyboard and he had a little mouse and he had a voice control so he could talk to the computer and basically didn't need his keyboard or his mouse, but you know, sometimes people like to use their fingers. And then he had audio outputs. He had a full stereo audio output with 100-watt mic micro speakers in the bass, and then two sets of sound-baffled earphones so that they could listen to music, or they could talk, or GP could work on his own audio recordings. And then he added an exabyte hard drive for GP to store his work electronically. Now, William, you need to talk to your data and ask him, what is an exabyte hard drive? How big is it? Because this was big, but it wasn't quite big enough. So Curtis Cuttlefish had to say, now be good, don't overuse this. And then he had open connections, an open API to allow GP to have Space Cruiser dashboard display on his dashboard, on his monitor. And he gave that to Igglypuff. And Igglypuff's mouth dropped. Igglypuff's mouth dropped. He looked at this. He said, what is this? Woo-hoo! And then Solomon Cuttlefish went over all the features. Look, look, at all the mem cards you got. You can plug them in there. Look, and we can port it to your video display on your dashboard. Let's go. And they went inside, and they plugged it in. And it plugged right into the Space Cruiser. As a matter of fact, it fit really nicely on a side little unit that was there. It was a little table dashboard, and you could sit something on it, and it plugged in, and then it could be stabilized. It wouldn't float away in free fall, and then it was really great. And then the monitor went right on the side of the wall that was clear, and then GP could sit there, and he could be the co-captain, the co-pilot. Then Igglypuff looked over at GP, and GP just grinned at him. Said, I was on the phone. And guess what? And he pulled out from behind his back a 5-pound bag of Skedaddle Extra Special Roast as a present for Igglypuff. Coffee. He said, Igglypuff, my man, you got to bring coffee with us to Janaka Palala because I'm coming. And then GP carried in his suitcase and his backpack and his books and his box of dehydrated camping food and coffee and pizzas. And he said, where can I put these? And Igglypuff just looked at GP, and then his eyes crinkled up, and his mouth, nose mouth, would have been into a big grin if he were human. And he just looked at GP, and he said, welcome aboard, co-pilot. Woo! Oh, this was so much fun. Everything was ready. So everybody piled out. Igglypuff said, oh my good friends, we're all going to be, you're going to come to us and we're going to have such a good time. We'll bring you to Janaka Palala, we'll have a big party there. Oh, I'm so happy to get home. And he said, I'm going to pull my space cruiser out now. So everybody get onto the front lawn. And he got into his space cruiser and he turned it on. He said, Tuck Rob, tell the atmosphere drive motor bots to get ready to reverse. Well, this was floating a foot off the air, so it was already floating. He said, reverse engine, pull about. And the space cruiser slowly pulled out of the garage and stayed there, right on the driveway, humming. And then, one by one, all the monitoring meteor cables came out. They came out and they looked like all these strings hanging out from the space cruiser. But that's what monitored everything in the universe and outside. And it looked like a sea cucumber. Yes, go look at sea cucumber. You'll see what it looked like. It looked like a sea cucumber. And then Igglypuff came out and he gave all of his friends one more hug. Oh, thank you. And he hugged Tower Tomorrow, Tool Tall Tale, and he hugged Shui Huang, and they both sang, we'll see you again. Woo! And he hugged Clem Goodlight. Clem Goodlight, my good friend, you rescued me. I will forever be grateful. And my father and mother will be glad to see you visit us. And he gave him a big hug. And then he turned around to GP and he said, GP, my co-pilot, let's go. And right at that moment, right when everybody was happy, right when everybody was ready to go, right when GP was ready to climb in with Igglypuff and take off home in his space cruiser, around the corner came a big black attack vehicle. Black, big, with guns. And around the corner came another big attack jeep, two jeeps, three jeeps, and then a big Hummer, black Hummer, huge Hummer came around the corner. And they all pulled up right behind the driveway. Two of them pulled up on the grass, and the big Hummer pulled up, and out of the attack vehicle and the jeeps strode military police, United People's Conglomerate Military Police. And they were dressed in their black camouflage, and they had their riot helmets on, and they had their riot gear on, and they all had semi-automatic laser rifles, and they were aiming them right at Iglypop. Oh. And then out of the Hummer came this big, tall, skinny black guy. And he walked up to Iglypop, and he said, "Are you the space alien?" Iglypop looked at him. "Who are you?" And Shui Huang said, "He's asking you, who are you?" And J.J. Johnstone, "I am Captain J.J. Johnstone of the United People's Conglomerate Military Police. And we are here to arrest you as an illegal alien space creature coming to land on Earth. And we're going to confiscate this space cruiser." "What? What? What?" People went, "What?" Then the car, the other girl, the car opened, and out stepped Major Heinrich Himmelstein. Now, William, you know it is not nice to make fun of people on how they look, because people look like people look. And sometimes people get, well, they put on too much weight, okay? And so there are a lot of ways to call it, and it's very not nice, and you're not supposed to comment on it. But Major Himmelstein had eaten one too many really good meals. He was a big boy, and he walked out, and he had his black uniform on, and he had his cocky, arrogant hat on with the visor, and he had medals, and he had bars and stripes, and he walked up and said, "I am Major Heinrich Himmelstein. You are under arrest by order of the United People's Conglomerate." Clunk Goodlight stood up. He said, wait, what is this? How, you're not going to arrest him. We're, this is us. We're going." And then Curtis Cuttlefish said, "Wait, what are you doing here? This is my lawn. Get off my lawn. You have no right to be here. This is Cascadia Regional Autonomy. What are you doing here?" And then the police just said, "We are here, and we are going to arrest this space alien." Well, right at that moment, another jeep appeared, a big one, autonomous regional, the Cascadia Mounted Police. And out of the police vehicle climbed two men. Darius Dangerfish, who was a really tall African-American guy who'd lived, his family had lived in Carnatoon for years and generations. And then also out of the car stepped Cornelius Wetfish. And Cornelius Wetfish was a Salish Indian, and he was state police too, or what we call Cascadia Mounted Police. And they both came over in their brown camouflage, and they said, "What's this? What is going on?" And Heinrich Himmelstein, Major Himmelstein, looked at him and said, "What do you want? This is military police business, United People's Conglomerate Military Police. What are you doing? You get out of our way." And then Darius Dangerfish, who was a captain himself, looked at the major and said, "Excuse me, Major Himmelstein, but what are you doing here? You have no right to arrest anybody." He stood up tall. He said, "I am going to arrest this space alien and impound this cruiser for the safety and security of the United People Conglomerate." Darius Dangerfish said, wait, you can't do that. That's not what you can do, because you're here just for investigation. And you're here because the Cascadia Regional Autonomy has allowed you in. But you can't arrest anybody. This is outside your jurisdiction." And Major Heinrich Himmelstein just said, "I will arrest everybody I want, including you." And then he said, "Men, get ready to arrest. Attack mode." And all of a sudden, all these little laser lights showed up, and everybody standing there, Clem, Shui Huang, Tara Tamar, Dr. Talltale, even the kids, they all said, What's this? And they all had laser guns aimed at them, even Darius and Cornelius. "What's this?" And Heinrich Himmelstein said, "I am in control here, and I am going to arrest this space alien creature." Well, now, step back a second, because at that moment, all of the satellite dishes and all of the radar dishes and all of the deep sea inspector dishes went into red alert at the same time, because they picked up a fleet of 12 large space-going vehicles that was entering Earth's atmosphere right at that very moment. And they were answering the emergency signal that Iglypop had sent days before, and they were homing in on the emergency GPS signal he had sent, and they were coming into the atmosphere right over the Cascadia Regional Autonomy to rescue the Crown Prince of Jenakapalala. And all of the radar and all of the satellites show these huge ships outside, and people in the United People's Conglomerate and in Calizona and the Cascadia Regional Autonomy said, "Huh, what's this?" And then a space cruiser and a space frigate dropped out of the atmosphere right down on top of, you guessed it, Carnatoon. And all of a sudden, everybody heard a deep thrumming. And all the military police looked up, huh? And Heinrich Himmelstein looked up, huh? And then all the human other humans, Clam and everybody looked up, huh? And then Iglypop looked up and went, which means, in Jenakapalalan, yay, yay, they picked up my signal, they're here to rescue me, ho-hoo! And then these two ships were huge. I mean, the space frigate, which was smaller, the space frigate was only a couple of football fields long, but the space cruiser, wow, you could fit a whole city mall in there. It was like big. And then a portal opened in the side of the space cruiser, and out came this little vehicle that looked like a helicopter. And the helicopter came out and landed right in the grass, right outside of where Iglypop's space cruiser was. And all the Clam and Shui Huang, they all got out of the way, and the door of the space cruiser opened, and out stepped the Star-Lord himself, Enkiwatera Epsilonaron. Well, the Star-Lord is, well, he's an adult Jenakapalalan. He's 8 feet tall. He's big. Now, I told you that Heinrich Himmelstein was big. Well, that's big as in tubby. Enkiwatera Epsilonaron was big because he was big. And he looked around and he saw Iglypop. And you know what he did? You know what he did? He went, which means, oh, I found you at last, Crown Prince. Iglyopteron, Uberopteron, Crown Prince of Jenakapalala, I am so glad. And then he got down on his knees. He got down and put his face in the ground, and he bowed to Iglypop. Well, all the humans went, huh? And then he got up, and he said, woohoo, I'm so glad to see you. And then right behind him popped out 4 crew members. And they were Jenakapalalan too, and they were all like 7, 7.5 feet. They were big boys too. And they looked at Iglypop, and they went down on their hands and knees, and they bowed all the way down to their noses, their face balls on the ground. And then they came up and all shouted, woo! Have you imagine 4 of them going, woo! Long live Crown Prince Iglyopteron Uberopteron! Well, this was a lot of singing going on, and nobody knew what was happening. And Heinrich Himmelstein looked at all of this and said, what is this? What is going on? I arrest all of you. All of you space aliens, you're arrested. You're here illegally. Well, this was going to look bad. This was not going to look good. It was going to look like, oh no, everybody's going to get arrested. Well, this couldn't happen. And I'll tell you why. Because Iglyopteron, Uberopteron, was after all the Crown Prince. And all of a sudden, he realized he was in an area called diplomacy. This was politics, sheer politics. Well, he could handle that. Hey, he knew what to do now. It was clear. And he stepped forward, and he said, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Oh, welcome, my dear Uncle Star-Lord, Enkiwatera Epsilonaron. I am so glad to see you. And he turned around and looked at Heinrich Himmelstein, and he said, you, cease and desist. And he said it in a way that everybody stopped. And Heinrich Himmelstein said, what? And then Tower Tomorrow Tool Tall Tale said, "What?" And then Star-Lord said, "Yes." And that's where I'm going to end the story for today. Because you have to find out what Iglyopteron, Uber Operon, did to rescue everybody. But he came in at the last minute. He saved a whole slaughter. He saved the space fleet from Janaka Palala, sort of like destroying most of the world, because he knew what to do. And tomorrow will be the last chapter of Stranded on Earth, and you will find out what Iglyopteron knew what to do. So, my dear William, you have a good night's sleep. You hug your little sister, Lauren. You hug your mom and dada. You say prayers for your grandma and grandma. And you remember, you are the luckiest 5-year-old in the whole world. And I love you. Good night.